It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. Yeah, that's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump for today, Friday, March 20. And we got a great, nice, chunky, full episode for you to enjoy over the weekend. It's still shorter than most podcasts you listen to, but we have Dan Bacadall, star of Stage and Screen. He was on Veep. He was on The Daily Show. I knew him in Chicago. He worked at Second City and did something I always wanted to do. He punched a wall there. Good for Dan. I never did that. And Dan is also was on Life in Pieces. And at the end of the interview, he's going to be plugging the three projects he's in. So Dan's doing all right. And we're going to talk a lot about Florida sports, which Dan knows quite a bit about. A little bit of Nebraska talk in there. Sorry, folks. But it's a very funny and fun conversation with an old friend of mine, Dan Bacadall. And I also have put some real dumb videos that we did up on the sportsdump.com website, or I'm going to by the time you hear this. But before that, we've got just a couple jokes for you, and they're quality jokes. So here, let's get to them. I realize I shouldn't preface by saying they're quality jokes. That's up for you folks to decide, but I have deemed them quality, and that's why I'm reading them. Now, folks, due to the coronavirus concerns, the Scripps Spelling Bee has officially been canceled. Organizers said they weren't worried about the event itself so much as the three-day fuckfest amongst the judges and single parents that inevitably follows it. And former Lions cornerback Darius Slay says he quickly lost all respect for head coach Matt Patricia. Oh, man, folks, it's a sign of just how far society's fallen when you can't even respect the coach of the Detroit Lions. Come on, people. All right. Without further ado, I now bring you my conversation today with Floridian, Second City alum, and very funny man, Dan Bacadall. All right. And welcome, Dan Bacadall.
Hey, Joe Canelli.
Yes. Long time no here.
I know. Last time I saw you was in person at the Hollywood Bowl. It was like months ago now.
What was that? What was the show? Was that the Jazz?
Gary Clark Jr.
That's right, Gary Clark Jr. That was a good show.
Yeah.
He can shred.
Yeah, it was a good show. He really can. We went to see Michael Kiwanuka, who of course was six. So
that's right.
My wife was bummed, but we had a good time.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bad time at the Hollywood Bowl, honestly.
No, it's a great. What a great venue.
It is. It's one of the nice things about L.A. here. You know what? Another nice thing about L.A. that I'm just going to bring up is that with everyone driving around so much, there's a certain level of social distancing that happens here anyway all the time. For example,
Naturally. You
know, all of us, I know you from Chicago, Dan Bacadall, of course, comedian, actor extraordinaire, Daily Show, Life in Pieces. You've been in so many different things, a lot of movies. What's your favorite thing you were in, or a thing that people would know you the most from?
I think, well, those are two completely different
answers. You're right.
I think my favorite project was probably Legit, the show I did with Jim Jeffries and DJ Qualls on FX.
Yes.
You know, but probably the thing people know me from the most is either Veep on HBO or Life in Pieces.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, when you do a network show, everyone's going to know. That's going to be your most wide people knowing
it's
you.
It's crazy how, even if it's not a highly rated show, you still have so many more people tuning into a network show than you ever would for a cable show, unless that cable show is Game of Thrones or Walking Dead.
Yeah, or South Park or something like that. Crazy. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. And for us people, you know, honestly, comedians probably watch more cable than they do of network stuff generally. So it's almost like, you know, in the world of people we know, definitely Veep. I can't believe I forgot Veep. That's actually, that's my favorite role of yours as well.
Well, thanks. Cause it's closest to who I really am. Right,
that's
Joe?
Well, and there's something to be said for that, quite honestly. And that's one of the things I like about you, Dan. I mean, we're going to get into sports in a minute here, but I like a lot of things about you, but I value a few things, maybe too much in people. I value honesty in comedy, like humor,
first of all, the ability to do it, and then if not that, at least the ability to appreciate it. And honesty, yeah. I think, is, you know, that's always a good thing. And then anger is something that I also like in people, because there's a lot to be angry about, no matter how you slice
it. I have a lack of trust of those who don't have a little more anger.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's jealousy. I don't know. But like, I just look and I go, there's no way you're not as angry as I am about this. You're just a liar.
Either a liar or it's being, and what happens then? Do you end up having a stroke because it's all pent up inside of you? Or do you find, you know, not you personally, I'm saying that the general
I know what you mean.
Who doesn't express anger in the same way that maybe a you or an I might, which is to say generally more direct and not disguising the emotion.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know what happens. I don't think I'll ever find out.
No.
Because I don't know that that's ever going to change.
Yeah.
I've tried an awful lot of things, but.
Well, and you know, another difference between you and I is that you work a lot more than I do in the industry. And so, again, your perspective of dealing with all that stuff, we are in one of the most dishonest industries. Although I will say, dishonest and industry is in a way, redundant? Because they all are.
Yeah, it is. It's redundant. It's also the bedrock upon which all industry is built.
Yes.
You can't build it without some dishonesty.
No, exactly. Capitalism is built on a little bit of that, or else, you know, everybody would be like, hey, why aren't I getting my share? Capitalism is built on disguising what everyone's share is, basically. Wow. We just came to that.
Until the check shows up, and then they move the home office so that you can't complain.
Yes, exactly. And sports really is no different. We're seeing a lot of that, with all these. One thing that I found interesting is all these players, and this has been my point all the time, and I bet you agree in a way, all these players are putting up money to help the employees of the venues. The owners are the ones who are kind of responsible for those people, not the players, really.
Yeah.
Now, yes, the players are certainly wealthy, but not nearly as wealthy as the players.
I think, absolutely, and I think, too, that, like, the players are wealthy, but they're going to work 10 years. I mean, 10 years is a long career in any sport when you take the average.
Way above the average.
So they're going to work 10 years. Yeah, they're going to work 10 years. They're not businessmen.
Nope.
They're not graduating with business degrees.
Nope.
You know, some of them are graduating. Some of them aren't. I mean, LeBron James's kids go to our school. And, there's going to be certain forgivenesses for folks of that caliber.
Sure.
And I have to remind, like, when I'm talking with my wife, I have to say, like, you know, you and I graduated from high school and then went to college. He graduated from high school and went to millionaire.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
like,
true.
At the age of 18, 17, went straight to millionaire.
Can you imagine?
You miss out on a lot.
I mean, I know how dumb I was in my mid-20s, let alone my late teens.
Yeah. Right.
And also something is, you know, your career earnings, a guy who plays in the NFL for 5 years, you know, his career earnings may be as much as mine, but mine have been stretched over 20 years so that the taxes on that are much less. Like, when you make that kind of money, making that in 1 year, you probably know. You've had some very good years, I'm guessing, and a variety of differences in years. And so you really see in a year where you make, you know, the most that you've made, they take the most that you've made. And again, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm a big pro tax person if they use the taxes the right way.
That's the big tax.
Well, and that's the big thing. Yes, absolutely. I like everyone
to see. That goes back to, like,
go ahead.
Talking about the owners is that, like, I was just going to say, the guy that owns, let's say, the Utah Jazz, for example, since that's where this whole thing started with COVID-19 and the NBA, right?
Yes.
That's where I realized, oh, man, this is real.
And that's
watching.
That saved lives.
What was I watching? The Grizzlies game? Or no, it was the Dallas game was watching.
Yep.
And they made the announcement that the two guys were sick, but they weren't saying what it was. Then 2 minutes later, they make the announcement that they're canceling that game, the Utah game. And I go, uh-oh, that's not good. They said those two guys were sick. Then they make the announcement. I can't remember the order, whether it was the two guys had COVID-19, and then the league was postponing the season. I don't remember how it happened. But
that's about it. And then you see Cuban getting the phone call.
Right. And I'm watching it on TV the same way that I watched the O.J. Simpson chase.
Yes.
While I was watching the Knicks game.
Right.
20-some years ago, right?
I remember that, too.
Now, that guy that got that phone call, Mark Cuban, could stand up and cover the bills for everyone in the building and still be okay.
Yeah, and he actually is one of the first player, who did.
Sure. Yeah, he's I think he's proven he's bonkers, but he's also one of the more stable sports team owners in the industries. But I look at it, I think those guys could afford to pay for the popcorn vendors, because those are the guys I think about. The guy with the orange wand out in front of the stadium,
yep,
that tells you where to park. And then the ticket taker and the popcorn vendor, those are the people that are getting shafted.
Absolutely.
And you can cover their bills, but really what you're doing is you're covering a week. I just talked to a friend of mine who's a dog walker in Chicago. Nobody needs a dog walk right now.
Right.
Because they're home.
Right.
So he wasn't living paycheck to paycheck as in month to month. He was living week to week. These people at these stadiums are living week to week.
Yep.
So, yeah, a sports star can cover some of that stuff, but ultimately, a sports star is a finite amount of money.
Absolutely.
Only a handful are going to be Dwayne Wade, who can go on to have a reality show or a Wheaties box or something like that. The rest of them are going to be Sam Cassell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To tie it into, I've been thinking about Florida State and basketball.
Right.
And just like tying it back into that, like, Sam Cassell won multiple championships, but he's not a household name.
No.
He, I hope, saved his money, because if he didn't...
Well, he's still coaching in the league. He's still coaching in the league, right?
Okay. Shows you how much I know.
But it also...
Bobby Sura. I'll use Bobby Sura instead then.
Sure.
That's
a good one. He ain't coaching. Well, and that's the thing for those guys is, you know, Sam Cassell, you know, he makes a good living as an NBA coach, I'm sure, but again... That's he needs to probably work because he's our age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Sam Cassell's not 65. He's 51 or something, you know? So.
Yeah, I'll bet you he's 50 because he and I graduated at the same time.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Well, you didn't graduate. You seem like a guy who was, you know, graduated early, went in there. You know, they skipped you.
I graduated.
They skipped you a grade ahead because you had a lot of body hair more than the other kids. And they were like, oh, this guy's got it.
Yeah.
We'll move him ahead.
Yeah, this guy.
So
no, I was redshirted for a year and a half.
Redshirted?
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds like, all right, I was making sure we were still recording. So, yes, you went to Florida State. Excellent transition, Dan. Because I wanted to talk about Florida State a little bit. This, you know, this period of time gives us a little more time to ruminate on some things. And I'm a Nebraska fan. You're a Florida State fan. So we've had a lot of history together. And both programs have had, you know, a lot of highs in our lifetimes. And right now they're in about, maybe Florida State, you could inform me, has had some lows lower than this, maybe before Bowden. But
no.
This,
no, not even then. This is
pretty bad.
As low as we've ever been.
The Willie Taggart thing, that guy... Now, he's made more money than I've made in my life, but I feel like I've contributed just as much to football as him.
It could be. I feel for a guy like that because you don't turn down a job like that.
Yes.
Right. Even if you know, man, I can't handle that job, you go, okay, I'll take it. It's similar to, I will say with all honesty, me taking the job at the Daily Show. I couldn't turn that job down. I think I was talented enough. I just don't think I was a fit. I don't think I fit.
Yes.
But I had to take it.
No,
even
absolutely.
Though I knew, oh man, I don't fit in this system. I go there, it doesn't go well, I'm out of there a year and a half later, and I go, holy shit, what just happened? My head's spinning. Willie Taggart, I'm sure, thought, well, you got supporting, you know, you got athletic directors, you got assistant coaches, you got veteran players who've been here for 3 years, I'm going to be okay. And he finds out right away, no.
Yeah,
you're not. In fact, people want us to fail so badly.
I am sure.
Even fans of the team are like, oh, God. Let's not forget, Tallahassee is not the least racist place in the world. Nor is Florida.
I'm going to guess they're closer to most than least.
Closer.
Yes.
They're far closer to number one than they are to number 50.
Yes.
and so there's a lot of people that are rooting for him.
Yeah.
to fail to begin with. And I don't know how much I believe in karma, but energy's got a place in this world. And when you know that that energy is out there against you and you're not believing in yourself to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and look, how many times has a person been fired after, what was it, 13 games? I mean,
well, and you look at,
you get 2 seasons.
I can actually give you the example of Scott Frost as a direct parallel. Now, Frost, Frost is, you know, boyhood hero, came back.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, Nebraska didn't like him when he first came back because he went to Stanford first. And so when he first came back to the Huskers, he got a little bit of whatever. But, you know, they won a title with him. So he comes back no more successful than Taggart, but he's the chosen one. And I fully acknowledge he is, you know, the white hero of Nebraska. You know, they're not bringing Tommy Frazier in to coach the team. Now, there's another, you know, I could talk about a number of other reasons why they wouldn't do that to begin with. But even if they had the same resume, you know, they're taking Frost in here. And he got an extension, which I agree with. But it kind of shows the difference of when a guy comes in who has the absolute full support of the state, the school, everything. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 more years now, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to get something going.
Well,
but Taggart didn't have that at all.
The interim coach that they had after they fired Willie was also a black guy, but a former FSU player.
Right.
A current coach, a guy he's a lifer.
Yes.
And so people were fully behind him.
Yes.
You know.
Well, exactly, and that's the difference.
It's not all race, obviously, because, look, when Charlie Ward became the first black quarterback at Florida State, I was there.
Yep.
I was at the school at the time, and there was a ton of shit talk behind that.
Sure.
That really only went away once we came back. His first year came back and beat Georgia Tech when we were down big. And we came roaring back, and then there was this full tidal wave of support behind him. Now, maybe some people would say that's not true. I just know that the guys I was hanging out with, a lot of them, that's when their allegiance towards this guy as a quarterback changed.
Of course. Well, racism is not, you can't tell the racism when the team's winning. You know, Cam Newton was real popular at Auburn when he won.
Yeah.
But if Cam Newton comes in and they go 8-5, he's the Florida washout who ruined their season. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly.
That's when you see it more in the losing. You see everything in the losing, obviously.
But look at you know, and staying with the Florida State thing and staying in the state of Florida, we'll talk about Tom Brady for a moment.
Yes, please. And you're doing all my transitions for me.
Yeah, of course, man. I need your help, Joe.
Yeah.
He's going to replace and make completely obsolete and just another in a long line of failed Florida State quarterbacks that go pro, you know. Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
You know, upon draft time, it was, geez, do we go Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston? Who do we go? Which one? Look, now they're both washing out.
Both be backups.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I would argue just about every team. I mean, obviously, the Chiefs aren't going to bench Mahomes, but you think the Eagles wouldn't have had a shot at Tom Brady? You think the Dolphins wouldn't have? The Bills? All these teams, even if they have a young upstart coming up, they're like, hey, why don't you sit for a year while we see how Tom does in our system?
Yes, because
you know,
it's
a different thing.
He's a... I actually think it's not going to work out. Now, part of that is me kind of wanting it not to work out, but...
Of course! For 2 reasons.
Yeah. The Brady reason.
The Buccaneers.
Yes.
It's the Buccaneers, and it's the Brady thing. But you know what? I also want it to work out, and I want the Patriots to fail, because then I can say, well, at least it was Brady and not Belichick.
Now, see, I'm different, because Belichick has a connection to the Giants and Lawrence Taylor, which gives me the affection for him.
I know.
Greatest linebackers coach in the history.
I've seen it.
Have you seen Belichick's son?
His son?
Yeah, his son coaches for the Patriots, and he's like this scruffy blonde kid. Sounds exactly like his dad. I think he's the linebacker coach of the Patriots. He's like a scruffy version. It's really weird. But back to Brady.
I was hoping he was like an equipment manager, failure, disappointment. You got to remember, I'm a Dolphins fan.
Right.
So 2 times a year, I have to play these fucking guys.
The Dolphins?
And yes.
The Dolphins played Brady better than anybody.
Yeah. And I think part of that is only because of the 72 thing. There's this ghost,
right,
this Billy goat, if you will, in our locker room of like, well, we're going to be terrible, but we're always going to be able to at least keep that from happening, right? And very rarely have we been the team that knocked them out, although we were the team that knocked the Bears out.
Absolutely.
We could talk about that for 4 hours.
Sure.
Because I was at that game.
Oh,
anyway,
that's one of the great NFL games in history, regular season games.
Yeah, it sure was.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, give me a little bit of that, because you're a Miami Dolphins fan, but then, of course, you moved to Chicago, so you got to confront the other end of that. But that was a – and the Dolphins were good that year, right? They made the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think so. In fact, I think we made it to the AFC Championship and had to play the Patriots.
Oh.
Which meant we played them three times that year.
Oh, my goodness. And that was the Tony Eason Patriots. Steve Grogan.
Yes. The Irving Fryer.
Oh.
Irving Fryer?
Yes.
Fryer.
Irving Fryer. Irving Fryer, who dropped that ball in the Orange Bowl against Miami, and you see all the Orange Bowl official guys in their jackets clapping as he drops the ball in the end zone. Probably cost Nebraska the national championship, but on the other end, it probably made Irving Fryer about $100,000.
Probably. And by the way, we can stay on Nebraska in the Orange Bowl because Nebraska, Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I went back and watched that game on YouTube recently.
Is that the Charlie Ward one?
Yes. Yeah, that's the Tommy Frazier Charlie Ward one.
Yes.
That game, there was a kick return that you guys had for a touchdown. It was called back because of a holding penalty. I've gone back and watched it.
No hold.
I don't see a hold. There's no
Dan, hold. Every Nebraska fan, I do a Nebraska podcast. We talk about that game and that play about every 3 weeks.
Of course you do, because Tommy Frazier, Charlie Ward was unconscionable good.
Yeah.
And then those of us that didn't get Nebraska games didn't know anything about Tommy Frazier until he started going, man, this team is doing really well. And then you see him and you go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
They've got a better Charlie Ward.
Yes, bigger. He was bigger.
He's tougher. He's bigger. You guys had running backs.
Yes.
That, you know, like our running backs were great, but they were all like scat back, fast dudes. Yep. I mean, William Floyd was a good running back, but he's mostly a fullback.
Yep.
But, like, you guys had
Amon Green.
You pasted us. And that one called back kickoff return is the difference in the game. And I remember that game, I was watching it up in Minnesota with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And it's negative 30 degrees. The game is finally over. I felt no sense of accomplishment or joy. I walked outside into the North Woods of Minnesota to smoke a joint to just get to just go away and then come back and go, well, I guess we won. It didn't feel like we won a championship.
Yeah. And for the first one, you know, you want it to be a trouncing or whatever. Well, ultimately, that victory or loss probably propelled Nebraska's next two national championships.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, and then what happened to Florida against Nebraska, then they come back and they win the national championship. You know, like sometimes you got to get... Now, Nebraska had a history of getting pasted and not coming back and winning the next year. But, that you don't have to remind me about that, but thank you for reminding all of our listeners about that. Now,
I just wanted to admit it.
I love it. I love having that on a recording. Now, have you ever been to Tampa? Have you spent any time there?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it mostly Yankee fans? Like, because the Tampa Bay St. Pete.
I don't know.
I think, I think Brady's going
to
have a lot of Giants fans there with 18-1 signs in the crowd, is my guess. Well, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Could be, but you know what I was going to say is the whole state of Florida is largely, obviously not all. There are some natives, but a lot of that state is Quebec, Cuba, and New York.
Yeah,
I mean that's what you've got. Obviously, there's some snowbirds from the Minnesota and Dakotas and so forth. But I think, on the whole, I remember as a kid going to the Orange Bowl to see the Dolphins play the Jets, and it was a Jets home game.
Yeah.
I went 2 years ago to see the Dolphins play the Patriots, and it was a Patriots home game. And, that was when I was working for CBS, so I had amazing seats.
Yes.
I was so pissed.
Right.
And here we are at home with a chance with Matt Moore filling in for Ryan Tannehill. Busted wheel Tannehill.
Oh, yeah.
And here's here's Matt Moore charging back. Damian Williams, in case you haven't heard of him.
Oh, sure.
He was our third down back, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. Should have been the MVP in the last. Sorry. But that guy should have been the MVP. That guy
MVP definitely. There are so many running backs who are discarded, and then you're like, oh, we could have had that guy. I mean, there's so much, you know. What was I going to say?
We've had an awful lot of them. But back to the Brady thing.
Kenyon Drake is another Brady. One you had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, T.J. Shanoff and I had a song about the Miami Dolphins running backs called What Happened to Kareem? Because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the one from UCLA,
sure.
came to Miami, and was supposed to be the savior of running, because we hadn't had a running game since Marino joined the team, and the song was basically 30 or 40 different running backs that had run for the Dolphins in all that time. Anyway, it never got recorded, unfortunately, but in case he's listening,
it's like Browns quarterbacks.
Yeah, dude. And look, here they are again.
Yeah.
You go, geez, that didn't take long before Baker becomes persona non grata.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll see with another year. But go on.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the Tampa fan base is pretty decent. They're better than the Dolphins fan base. They're better than the Jaguars fan base. The only reason I lump them all in together is because it is Florida.
Of course.
And Miami and Jacksonville don't seem to be able to keep their stadiums filled. Tampa's never really had a problem. I think because that west coast of Florida is kind of a different animal. So I think if Brady went to Miami, I would welcome him with open arms. You know, I would have been happy to have him. Obviously, Jesus, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick as our quarterback last year. We're gonna draft Tua.
You're gonna draft a guy with one hip.
I know. I'm sure we'll get some interesting days or games out of him, but my God, we cannot hope to pin our career, our franchise on this guy. Whatever. What do I know?
Well, I want to say one thing about
Adrian
that.
Peterson could never come back from his injured leg. He came back to win the rushing title.
Yes,
so.
And HGH is a powerful force now. But here's an underrated thing about that Tannehill, not Tannehill, Fitzpatrick. That's the rare instance where you have two left-handed quarterbacks, and if they get Tua. And I actually think that's a benefit to them for their offense, because when an offense has to switch the hand of a quarterback, so much stuff becomes different in terms of what passes are easier to throw and everything. So I think they are smart to keep Fitzpatrick. He's also a guy who I believe is pretty content with wherever you tell him to go, because he's been around long enough, and he'll make, you know, $12 million to sit, or $12 million to play four games, or $12 million to play 12 games, whatever you need from him.
So
that could actually work out okay for them. Everything else about Miami, it's always the ownership. And that's what you see, you know.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But I will say, like, right now it looks like, geez, you know, we're putting together a crazy draft. I mean, we've got a draft like nobody's had. Since who was it that Dictor made that trade with for Ricky Williams?
Yes, with the Cowboys? Saints. The Cowboys trading Herschel Walker was an incredible draft where they got a bunch of those guys.
Right, that too. Like those kinds, if we can use them properly, that's the whole thing that we've never really proven we're able to do.
Yep.
When you start getting rid of Minka Fitzpatrick and Laremy Tunsil, and now Jay Ajayi, turns out what a great idea, because I thought, my God, what are we doing? But then it turns out, boy, you got out just in time.
That's why running backs,
you look at it and you go, you have all these draft picks, three in the first round. So what is it, seven in the first three rounds or something like that?
They've got a lot.
And you go, okay, you can draft seven starters.
Sure.
That's a lot of starters to get quality if you draft properly.
That's the problem.
We usually fail.
Well, and the Raiders too.
You can buy seven lottery tickets.
Yes,
you got to be lucky.
And you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, like, you know, they may get a guy. You could definitely replace Minka Fitzpatrick and upgrade on him with that number five pick. But you're probably using your 14 or whatever the 21 is. And these teams, you know, Mac, who went to the Bears from the Raiders, like that guy gets there. There's a guy like that who gets drafted every like maybe 8-10 years. One guy.
Yeah.
So you're you get a couple picks, But the odds of him, of that replacement guy even being in that draft is difficult, right, let alone him being there when you pick. So Miami's doing what a lot of teams do, but it's always the level of like, do I keep this guy who's 23 and is going to give me four more good years, or do I hope to get somebody who's 20 and is going to give me six? It's a weird equation.
Yeah, but are those six, is any one of those six going to be equal to what this guy
right.
can give you at his best?
Right.
And that's where, like, I looked at what the Falcons did, picking up Gurley, and I go, I'll bet you Gurley's got at least one more great year in him.
Sure.
At least. And they really, I mean, once again, we'll go back to Florida State. If Devonta Freeman doesn't get a holding pass, holding penalty on one play, and then miss the block on another, the Falcons beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
In that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And if you got a guy who can do that, now, yeah, I mean, every time you turn around, Gurley's hurt.
Right.
But these guys seem to have that one year where it's like, boom, CJ2K is back.
Yep.
And he has his one good year before he's put out to pasture.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad those aren't my – it's not my job.
I
an opportunity to see it.
I was actually thinking you're going to see an evolution in football where it's going to become like basketball, where instead of running backs or wide receivers, you have wings, essentially, which is what the guard Ford has become, where a guy might line up in the backfield. Now, you still may have a what's his name, Derrick Henry guy, who's like your bludgeon.
Yeah.
It's kind of, do you, I don't know if you remember those early Chip Kelly Oregon teams always seemed to have one big ass running back and then 100 wide receiver hybrid running back guys. And I think the sport, especially with pay, because if I'm a guy who's in high school who could be a running back or a wide receiver or a defensive back, no way in hell I'm going to be a running back now. They get paid fractions. So
compared to how long they get to play.
Yes, and they take the beating.
You know, that's how long do you get to play? That's the thing. You know, I don't know if I told you this or not, but A Life in Pieces, we shot an episode with Marshall Faulk.
Ooh.
And I asked him, I said, who hit you the hardest? And he said, well, I didn't really get hit. And I was like, oh, you fucking... I said, you dick, who hit you the hardest? And he goes, I didn't get hit. And I said, come on, man, what are you doing? And then two episodes later, we shot with him and, how can I forget, Kurt Warner.
Sure.
Right? And I said, now I'm going to get him. Because I'm going to ask Warner.
Right.
Who hit you the hardest? And Warner said, oh, I remember the hardest hit I ever took. It was the very last hit I ever took. He was playing against the Saints, and he got drilled, and it was the hit that took him out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, forever.
And he got hit a lot.
The player's name.
Warner got clubbed.
Exactly. And I said, Kurt, thank you so much for being honest. Because I asked Marshall, and Marshall said he didn't get hit that much. And Kurt Warner goes, well, he didn't. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, he spun out of it. He got glanced off. He got tackled from behind. He wasn't getting hit like these guys that get hit full on, like a Mike Allstott.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, like a Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry who's hit. And I was like, oh, right. I guess that's true. You know, a pass catching back who's good at evading the hits.
Yes.
He's not Barry Sanders.
No.
You know, Barry Sanders could evade the hits, but he also got hit a lot.
He did, but that's because, but they would eventually close in on Sanders.
Exactly.
It was when those
a work done.
Yeah.
Where you're spinning back.
Right.
So even when they do hit you, they're tripping you more than they're tackling you.
Yes. I mean, Sanders got out of it better than like Earl Campbell can't walk. He's in a wheelchair.
Right.
Sanders seems to still, and again, he left a couple great years on the table. I think also with Barry is that guys at a certain point were like, I cannot run full speed at this dude because I'm going to miss him. So even when they was tackled, it was because the guy was holding up a little bit because he was scared. God, Barry Sanders was so good. He's the best.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Warner's kid plays at Nebraska.
Oh, no kidding.
He's a walk-on wide receiver. Cade Warner.
Oh, wow.
He's going to catch a lot of passes this year because they're losing all the receivers. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I like that he's a walk-on, though, too. Don't have to give him the scholarship.
Yeah, you gotta like that.
Don't take a scholarship when you can afford it.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Well, Dan, this was great. I'm gonna wrap it because we're past when I even thought we would be.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much. So obviously, I can't even ask. There's nothing to plug these days. But is there? What are you doing? Is there anything that you can recommend for people?
I do have a few things to plug. Actually,
plug away.
I did a show on Amazon that's going to be coming out soon called Tales from the Loop. It's a really cool sci-fi show. I think that's
I've heard of that.
May.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's another one, which is a Steve Carell show. I don't know what they're calling it. Maybe Hexagon, maybe something else, Space Force, which is a Netflix show, which is coming out April or May. And then I have a movie, which you can't see in theaters, which you were supposed to be able to see in theaters, but we're not allowed to go to theaters, called Buddy Games. And that's Josh Duhamel and Nick Swardson and Dax Shepard and Olivia Munn. It's
what's it called
crazy,
again?
Task. Buddy Games, and it's about a bunch of old pals that get together every year and play a bunch of dumb games and drink beer and beat the shit out of each other, and that one's a lot of fun. So
that sounds nice.
Plug before the black hole shows up.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, Dan, they're not shooting any new stuff right now, so stuff that's already in the can, stuff that's in the can, that's the way to go. That's nice.
No,
you got checks still rolling in. Lovely.
Well, who knows about that?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well.
They'll find a way. Yeah, yeah. And where you're way you're out a little bit, right? You're out of the city. You're not
in
the city proper, in the burbs.
Right.
And do you like it out there? Now actually it must be beautiful. Like you can get everywhere in LA right now. But you must be able to get where you're going in 12 seconds. There's got to be no traffic.
Yeah, no time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, we will look.
I live out where E.T. and Poltergeist and all that kind of stuff. So.
Those neighborhoods?
Spielbergland. Yeah. Those
yes, I love those neighborhoods. You know, Ventura has a lot of neighborhoods kind of like that too, where it's these big, those big streets. I love those neighborhoods. And like you said, your kids are playing basketball with LeBron's kids, right? Is that what you said?
Right.
They're playing.
Yeah, no.
They're playing hoops on
the same
team. wonderful. Well, doesn't Wade's kid go to that school too?
Yes. Yes.
You know, I'm going to keep plugging Nebraska to you. Wade, you know, Gabrielle Union is a Cornhusker.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, cool. Of course.
Hopefully we can get Wade's son to play there. That'd be awesome. All right.
There you go.
Dan, this was great. If this thing continues on and on and on, we're going to have to do this again. And even if it doesn't,
Thanks, Joe.
If it doesn't, Dan, why do we need a pandemic to talk? Yes.
And that's right.
Dan also is, I'll just say one last plug for Dan. He is a member of, and I'm going to put a video up on our website, thesportsdump.com. I'm not sure. Do you want me to put up the cat one or?
I don't care.
The doorbell
one? You like.
There's some good ones.
Yeah, anyone.
There's some good ones we did. And Mr. Johnson, a group entirely of guys who are angry and funny. except Nooch. Except Nooch.
I was going to say Nooch isn't angry.
No, he's not. And it was a group the other day. It was me, Nooch, and Matt. And Dan was like, oh, we're the fun bunch. I was like, really, Nooch? You're the only fun bunch amongst us. we're all crabs at a different degree.
Yeah.
But this was not crabby at all. It was wonderful, and thank you so much for coming
all.
On.
Thanks, Joe.
And stay safe and
of
say
course.
Hi to the family and everything.
You too, brother.
All right.
Take care.
Later. And that was our discussion with Dan Backetall. That was a great time to catch up. Glad to talk to him. Hopefully I'll get to talk to him again on the Sports Dump very soon for you folks. That's our episode for today. You can download, subscribe, rate, review the podcast on iTunes or on Spotify, or on Podbean. It's all listed under the Sports Dump. You can also follow us on Twitter Twitter is at Sports Dump Show. Sorry. And on Instagram, I don't even know on Instagram what I'm doing there at this point, but that is the_sports_dump, and you can follow us there for even less content. But there is more content on sportsdump.com. I'll be putting up a video of Dan and I that we shot years and years ago. I'm not sure which one yet, but it'll be on the website, sportsdump.com. Also, an article on sportsdump.com I wrote a while back. I think it's at the top of the page now. Now that Tom Brady has signed with Tampa Bay, we can take a look back and realize that if one thing had happened differently in his career, none of this stuff that's happening now would be happening. So go back and look at that article if you want. And We have a Patreon account, and I'm going to tell you about it, although, again, I'm doing all right. But my wife says, start telling people about it, just in case. So it's at The Sports Dump. I believe it's a dollar, and I don't know if it's a dollar a month. I honestly don't know how it works, but I will say this. If we don't have any patrons, if we do get a patron, you will be the sponsor of a full episode. That's for certain. So we can work out what you want us to say in the ad and everything. I also will send you a Sports Dump bumper sticker. A bumper sticker so small, it defies the entire purpose of being a bumper sticker. But if you are one of our patrons and you are willing to share your address, I will ship you one of those bumper stickers. All right, I think that's it for today. And it's Friday. So last announcement I'll say is next week we're going to start doing, hopefully at noon, Western, Pacific rather, 3 Eastern. Each day I'm going to do a little bit of a Twitter live broadcast to preview the episode later that day. I now have a lot of interviews lined up with some names you may recognize. I don't want to tease it out too far in case they hear this and decide to cancel. But next week, it could be all interviews. But we'll still have some segments and other things for you, like usual. All right, this was a long one, but you got the whole weekend, so enjoy.